There's a passage that I've quoted many, many times, which everybody is well aware of, John 3:16. But there's a wee bit more to it. We go to John 3. I'm reading this morning. The opening reading is from John 3, 1 to 18. I'm sure it's a passage which is well known to us all. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. Now then, how will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Wow. That to me is the complete gospel, not the one in a nutshell, which I normally refer to. But it's so clear. After reading that opening passage in John 3, the only title worthy of this morning's message is, "You must be born again." You know, it's clear to me that Nicodemus found this hard to understand. And you know, there are a lot of people in this world today that find it hard to understand. They don't understand what it means to be born again. And I believe that we can forgive Nicodemus for his lack of knowledge and understanding. But can there be any forgiveness for the people today who have no justification, because available to them is the Scriptures, which lays it all out for everyone to see? Today they have access to Scriptures which make it quite clear that there is only one way. And one of the old ones that I used to learn when I was at Sunday school as a young child was from Matthew 7 verses 7 to 8. "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." Now, if only that was true in our relationships with people in this world today. When you ask for something, do you always receive, or do you get excuses? "Oh, I haven't got that," or "I can't afford that," or "we're sold out of this," You know, but with Christ, he's available to you 24/7, 365 days a year and 366 in a leap year. He doesn't have time off. He has got all the resources in the world. And there is nothing that you could ask him for. Not if it's what is right for you, that he will not give you. But you should always do it prayerfully. It's sad but true that there are those who think that as long as they are nice to other people, they don't break the law, then they'll be fine. That somehow they'll be weighed up in the balance. And if they're good, ways out, ways they're bad, they'll be fine. They'll get into heaven. But that's not what Scripture tells them, is it? I would say that such people are word blind. How can anyone believe that after they've heard or read John 3:16-18? And I don't apologize for repeating it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So he didn't send him in to condemn us. He sent him in to save the world through him. And it always tells us whoever does not believe is condemned already. You know, there is no way around that bit of scripture. There is only one way you can be born again, and that's by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. God's one and only Son is the only one that's of any currency as far as getting into heaven is concerned. It couldn't be any clearer than that. Why then is it my belief that some of our churches seem to sort of navigate their way around that? You know, they fail to answer that question. They fail to make it clear, to hammer it home. And what Scripture emphatically says in John 14:6, John answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It couldn't be any clearer. I ask then, is it because they are more concerned about people's feelings, their sensitivity? They want to bottle them up to keep them coming. Maybe it's a business proposition, because if there's no feet in the door, there's no coffers in the offering. I don't know. But there is one thing that they will have to do, and they will have to answer for their actions to the Lord on the day of judgment. You know, you can appease people, you can butter them up, but you cannot butter up the Lord. He is not impressed by our pious actions or anything else. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks upon our hearts. And if our hearts aren't pure, then he won't accept our worship or our praise. And we won't receive his blessings. So it is very important, I believe, that we stand firm on the Bible teachings. Revelation 20:14-15 makes it clear. And we read, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. Only those who have been born again, only their names will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, We had a little conversation in Bible study on Wednesday night, and I expressed something which I'm not 100%, but I'm sure I've read somewhere in Scripture, and I couldn't remember where it was. But I believe that every person in the world, because you read John 3 and 16, God sent His Son to save the whole of the world through Him. I believe that every child that's born, his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, like the registry of births, if you will, is done in heaven. And it's only whenever they get to the age, or we get to the age of understanding and reject, that the name can be expunged. But that won't be expunged until the day that you haven't got a breath. So up until your last breath, you've got the option of getting your name entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, or not erased from the Lamb's Book of Life, not entered in it, not erased from it. That's my turn on it. You can feel free to disagree, but just pray, Lord, about it. I think that that is the way that it works, and I feel content with that explanation myself. Whether you do is another thing. To me, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there is no other way. Scripture points all the time, there is only one way, and that is you must be born again. Scripture tells us that we can praise God for a living hope of being born again. When we read in 1 Peter 1:2-5, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, and sprinkled with His blood, grace and peace will be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Strong bit of scripture. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. He's also given us a living hope that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the death, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It couldn't be any clearer. No rust or moth can corrupt your inheritance if you are born again. I ask, which would you look forward to? The wages of sin or the wages of death? You know, God's precious gift of life is free to all, but it's an offering. And an offering is only that until it's accepted. Once you accept it, then you have taken the gift. You know, and to some people, it seems very strange. You know, they think, oh, I've been offered this. I've been offered a great job. But it's not theirs until they actually sign the contract and start to work and get their first pay packet. You know? So it's all right thinking about it, but don't think about it too long. For as we read from the Apostle Peter, makes it clear to us in 1 Peter 1:23. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Peter goes on to give us these instructions that we need to observe and to follow upon acceptance of God's Son as our Lord and Saviour. In 1 Peter 2, 1-3, we read, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So many people think that once they accept the Lord as their Savior, that's it, it's a done deal, and that's all they need to do. But remember, we're given the Great Commission. When you come to the Lord, as you can read in Matthew, which I haven't put on the script, but we all know it, to go into the world and preach the gospel. So you've got to be able to do that, you've got to get into Scripture. You've got to read, meditate, and apply it in your life. To use it, because if you don't use it, it's like muscles. It gets weak. And the weaker we are, whenever we are faced with a problem, the more likely we are to give in to it rather than to fight against it. So it's important that we know the Lord, and we don't have to do it in our own strength. His word tells us that his yoke is light. It's easy and his burden is light, sorry. So when we consult him and ask for his help and his assistance, he will guide us and show us the way to get through any problem that we have. Now, Linda and I had a family funeral, family cremation, and anyway, on Friday. And it wasn't a Christian thing, it was like a civil. And I mean, it was very jolly and everybody was quite happy, but it just seemed a little bit empty to us. But that's because of a spiritual thing. Everybody else was happy, but that's the way of the world. And we can't condemn them, but what we've got to try and do is educate them. And the only way we can educate them is by being educated ourselves, by standing on the Word of God, on the Scriptures as a whole, and not just trying to take out the nice little bits to appease people, but to give them the truth. As the man says, you know, it's better to drive a donkey with a stick than it is to ask it to walk on. Because sometimes a donkey can be stubborn, and sometimes they need a bit of a stick. So as I do, as Linda will tell you, sometimes I need a kick up the backside to get some jobs done that I've been promising to do for a while. But that's another issue for another day. You know, but it's my prayer that if you're listening to this message, and as yet you have not made Jesus your Lord and Saviour, if you have not been born again, that you will give it immediate and serious consideration, as none of us know how much time we have left. And for some of us, tomorrow may never come. So don't put off till tomorrow. No mañana. If you feel that the Lord is speaking to you, seek his knock and he will open the door. Seek and you will find. And once you accept, you can claim all of his gifts and all his promises in Scripture and all his blessings. Because if you're not a part of the family, you're not entitled to the inheritance, are you? And that's what people seem to forget. It's only for family members, but it's not a private club. It's a club anyone can join, but they've got to open their hearts to the Lord and accept him as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, at least for us, you've opened our eyes, and we find it so clear and so easy. But Lord, this world lets so many distractions get in the way. Lord, we just pray that you will enable us to be good ambassadors for you, to lead by example, that people will look at us and see that we've got something that they lack and maybe want or would like to have. But Lord, the only thing that we have got that's of any value to them is you. So Lord, we hope that through us that you will help us to lead them to you so that they will accept your Son as their Lord and Savior and grow your kingdom in this place and throughout the world. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.